The cross is it's a powerful symbol. There's reasons why millions of people have crosses around their homes. And there's about a million different reasons why people have a cross. It's amazing to me how people who really don't even know much about God will have a cross. Churches have a cross in their sanctuaries and around their buildings. There's a reason, because the power of the cross can change people's lives. And Jesus died on the cross, and what Jesus touches, he changes. The cross, which was once a symbol of death, became a symbol of life. And so we look at the cross again this morning. And as you get ready for Good Friday, and as a pastor, as you begin to think about what you need to speak on days like this, in one way it's easy, but in another way it can be difficult, because I know I need to speak on something pertaining to the cross. But there's so many different ways you can look at it, and so many different aspects that you can see. And often I've spoken about, a lot of pastors will speak about the seven last sayings that Jesus had when he died on the cross. And there's different things that you can look at. And I was looking at that, and I was reading about different things and that people had written. And then something interesting came to me. There were two people that morning that Jesus died that got up that morning and had no idea what was going to be happening to them later that day. For one, it was just going to be another normal day. He was a centurion, a Roman soldier. He was doing his job. He was going to be going out crucifying some more people. Pretty sure he was pretty jaded by this time. Crucifying people, imagine that being your job. Crucifixion at that time was not just to kill someone. It was a way to bring pain and suffering to someone before they died. It was torture. And this was his job. He got up that morning thinking, another day, another few more crucifixions. Not thinking that his life would probably be changed somewhat. Someone else woke up that morning. It was going to be a different day for him. It was a criminal that was about to be crucified that day. He'd probably already been through the court systems. He knew that his death day was coming. And he knew that it was going to be a bad day for him. But little did he know what was going to be happening with him that day. So I want to take a look at the responses of these two people today. The first one is a centurion. Somebody who moved from what I would consider to be doubt to faith, believing that he was the Son of God. I'm sure by this point the Roman soldier, the centurion, was heard about Jesus. He maybe knew that today was going to be a little bit different in the fact that this Jesus Christ, Jesus was going to be crucified. He probably heard some of the stories of who he was and what they would be considered the rebellion that was beginning to happen and the people that were following Jesus. And so he was one of the executioners of Jesus. We pick up the story of the centurion in Matthew chapter 27. It wasn't a very pleasant story. The governor's soldiers took Jesus, gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and they set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him. They took the staff and they struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes on him, and then they led him away to crucify him. This was a centurion's job. He was a brutal man. But he was carrying out his orders. That was his job. This guy was probably no pushover. He had dealt with criminals before. It just happened to be that Jesus crossed his path that day. I don't know if he even thought for a moment that Jesus might have really been the Son of God. I think if he did, he wouldn't have done what he did. But as we see later, that's all about the change. The soldiers crucified Jesus. They took his clothes. They divided them in four shares, and the garment was seamless. It was woven in one piece from top to bottom. And so in John you read, "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said they divided the garments among them and cast lots for his clothing. Luke goes on and tells us that the soldiers continued to mock Jesus. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." So like all crucifixions, it was a terrible scene of cruelty. But this was a crucifixion of Jesus. And there's something about what Jesus touches, he changes. And so there was an incredible transforming moment. Jesus, who could have exempted himself from this, endured the pain of the cross. And here's that Roman soldier watching everything that is going on. And he probably expects, and he's probably seeing this day after day after day, the person that they're crucifying angry and mad and hurling insults, cursing at the soldiers that were killing him. But Jesus was completely different. His first words saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then all of a sudden, something begins to happen. Who is this guy? Jesus wasn't like anyone he had ever met before, or probably anyone he had crucified before. And if that wasn't enough, the centurion's heart was going to change because the earth was shaking, the rocks were splitting, and the whole earth seemed to be turning upside down. You see, in Matthew chapter 27, it records an incredible event. Matthew describes this transformation like this: "And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And if you ask any scholar if that happened by accident, it did not happen by accident. The earth shook. The rocks split. The tombs broke open, and bodies of many holy people who had died before were raised to life. The centurion seen this, and those with him were gathered when Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened. They were terrified, and they exclaimed, "Surely this is the Son of God." That morning, he had no idea that he was going to truly meet the Son of God. But he did. He saw something different. There doesn't seem to be any doubt in that man's mind as a statement, "Surely he is the Son of God." And that's something that every single one of us at one point or another has to decide. Jesus, who died on the cross, was he the Son of God who gave up his life for each one of us? Amen? Amen. The centurion did not come to that cross as a believer, but after seeing everything that happened, and something changed inside of his life. The second witness that I see of this is a thief that moved from a sinner to a saint. Luke records this. A thief was someone who was unfortunate to get caught. It seems that if he was being crucified, that he was quite a bad person. There were some horrible things that he had probably done. And the punishment for this offender was death. And so we look at the story, Luke chapter 23. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they were there. They crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." It's an interesting story, isn't it? Of the last day, of all the times you see people accusing Jesus and sending him to the cross, you don't hear of anyone trying to defend him. Even his disciples ran away scared. Yet here's a criminal finally defending Jesus. Of course, he had nothing to lose, but he was defending Jesus. He recognized, I don't know why this guy is here. He's done nothing wrong. We deserve to be here. So Peter had tried to come to his rescue in the garden, but finally had abandoned Jesus. His friend John remained an observer throughout this whole thing. So now at the cross, we have the most unlikely witness emerging for Jesus Christ, a thief. A thief who says, I'm guilty and I'm getting what I deserve, but this man does not. And so he begins to reflect on the character and the nature of Jesus, and he probably looks up and he sees the inscription over Jesus, King of the Jews. And as he considers Jesus and all his wrongdoings, he considers that he might be the Messiah, he begins to place his hope in Jesus, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. What an amazing story. What a change that cross had brought to the life of that thief. That morning, that thief woke up and thought, this is it, this is the end, this is how it all finishes, right? He had no idea that what he was going to be meeting. I don't know if he knew that he was going to be crucified beside Jesus. They probably didn't tell him that. He just, when he got there, he was like, oh, what's going on? But began to recognize something, that there's an opportunity here that he was beside Jesus Christ, Messiah. Jesus, remember me. Jesus looks and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. What an amazing thing. When we wake up in the morning, we don't know what our day might hold. For the centurion, he had no idea that he would be meeting the Son of God. For the thief, he had no idea that at the end of that day, he would be with Jesus in paradise. He had no idea. But there's something about Jesus and the cross that changes lives. And this morning when we got up, once again, we have no idea what God has planned for us. Amen? But because of the cross and because of what Jesus did on the cross, amazing things can happen. Because what Jesus touches, he changes. And if Jesus touched my life, he changed it. Amen? And if you allow Jesus to touch your life, he will change it. He will change it. Today we look at the cross and we see a symbol of life, which was once a symbol of death. Today I look at my life, which was once destined for death and is now destined for life because of the cross. And this morning we remember that because of the cross and the transforming power of Christ Jesus, that we too can be changed. And so this morning, I want you to remember what Christ has done for you. And if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, this morning can be a change. For the centurion, he didn't know that he was going to be meeting the Son of God, and he did. For the criminal, he didn't know that he was going to be making a decision for Jesus Christ, but he did. And today, you have an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus Christ, because of the power that is still alive today in that cross. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads here. Father, thank you, Lord, for the power of the cross that changed lives. Lord, we see the soldiers that were impacted because of it. Lord, we see the criminal whose life was changed because of it. And this morning, we understand that our lives continue to be changed, Lord. Lord, just with our heads bowed here this morning, I ask that you would just begin to work on each one of our hearts here today. I just want to ask a simple question with our heads bowed here today. If you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, but you know his tongue,
You woke up this morning, you didn't know what was going to happen today. But you're meeting Jesus Christ, and he's speaking into your heart even right now. He wants you to give your heart to him, give your life to him. He gave his life for you, and he'll take your sin. And if that's you here this morning, we want to pray with you here today. So we just want to ask that question. Is there anyone here that wants to give their heart to Jesus Christ? And if that's you here this morning, I just want you to lift your hand. We want to pray with you here this morning. Anyone here, you just want to lift your hand and just say, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Praise Jesus. Thank you. Father, in the same way that you transformed and changed lives at the cross, Lord, you still continue to do that in our hearts today. Father, for us today who have already given our hearts to Jesus Christ, Lord, we want to be transformed and changed every day. That renewing power of the cross, Lord. Lord, we want to continue to walk in the process of becoming more like you. And so, Father, help us to understand that as we look at the cross, Lord, and remember what you've done, that it reminds us of the sin and what it cost for you to take that sin. So, Father, change us. Lord, if there's sin in our lives, Lord, help us, Lord, to surrender to you. Even now at the altar and at the cross. We thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen.